All right, if you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to the book of Acts tonight. And I want to look at a few verses found in Acts chapter 17. I want to take a text from here, but I want to kind of look at the book of Acts as a whole tonight. And I'll not preach a whole book. I shouldn't say that. I'll scare you. But I do want to look at several things in the book of Acts. While you're turning, I do want to say it's a real joy to be here tonight. Good to see you in the service tonight. And I have enjoyed church tonight. Amen. Good choir singing tonight. The good special singing tonight. I enjoyed that. Brother Mullinex family, good to see them. And enjoyed that good singing tonight. My wife singing tonight. I enjoyed that. And then our dear sister giving that testimony. What a blessing, man. I could have sat here today like and listened to her. I think I'll pay her sometime. Just come up and just talk. And I like it, man. I enjoyed hearing that tonight. And she kept on saying, did you catch what she was saying? What a joy. What a blessing. Wish I could trade places with you. Wish I could roll the clock back. If it was such a blessing for her to do that, what you reckon it's going to be and all them gets up there and she sees them up there? Huh? She may come unglued. Man alive. That's the wonderful thing about missions. Many of them we'll never see through our church and our church support missionaries. We'll never see them. But I won't tell you one day after a while when we all ushered in on the other side, thank God they'll come from the north and south and the east and the west. And what a day from every tribe, every nation around the world. What a day, thank God. Amen. Well, that's going to be great. Amen. I enjoyed that tonight. That was such a blessing. I've enjoyed being here this week. And I want to say thank you again to the pastor and church and also Brother Tenzin tonight, Prayer Baptist, for letting me come and be with you this week. I've enjoyed tonight's services, but I've also enjoyed today's services. I've enjoyed being here, fellowshipping with the missionaries and everything. It's been a real joy to be here. Thank you for the good place to stay. And I was losing weight. I come here. I'm telling you, them cooks down here in that kitchen knows how to fix food. And I've enjoyed the good meals. I've enjoyed the good week. I really have. And sometimes on a Wednesday night or a Friday night, I'll say thank you for letting me come. I've really enjoyed being here. Sometimes I'll say that on credit. If you know what I mean, you know what I mean. But I'm not saying it on credit tonight, brother. I've enjoyed being here, and I appreciate you letting me come and be with you in the mission meeting this week. It's been a real blessing to be here, and so good to be here. One of the big blessings being here this week is getting to be with my pastor. We don't get to be together much, and he don't get to come to church much. He comes some because he's been interim pastor at a church, and I've enjoyed being around him this week. I really have, and it's been such a joy to be here. My wife and I, thank you for letting us come. I hope you'll let us come back. Come see us sometime. We'd be delighted to have you. We have a camp meeting always the second week of October, and you come be with us now if you can, and I believe you'd enjoy that. Acts chapter 17, I'm going to read in just a minute. Won't we go ahead and stand right now? I want to have a word of prayer with you, and I want to say a few things, and then I'll read the text. Our Heavenly Father, as we study again tonight, I want to thank you for letting me be here tonight. Lord, I do want to thank you for the good week. It's been good for my wife and I to be here this week. Lord, I've enjoyed the good blessings of God and the good touch of God on every service, God. I thank you, Lord, for that knowledge that we have gained by being here this week. And Lord, the blessing that we've received by being here this week, all the good fellowship, all the good services, God, we thank you for them. But I realize everything that's been done and everything that's been said, God, Lord, it cannot and will not take place for the preaching of the service tonight. And I pray now, Lord, one more time as we look into the Word of God again tonight, I pray that you'll give me that I need this evening. Lord, I thought long and hard about the service tonight and prayed about it. And Lord, you so put in my heart even yesterday what to say tonight. And I pray you'll speak to my heart out of these verses tonight. Lord, may we be able to convey the truths that you have so worked in our heart. I pray you'll blind our eyes and our mind to that and those that would hinder us tonight. Give us spiritual eyes and a spiritual mind to think with and spiritual eyes to see with tonight. And anoint us with the power of God and do the work tonight that so needs to be done in this service tonight. Save somebody and move in mighty power in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. I'll read in just a minute. Thank you for standing. I'll read in just a minute. That means sit down. I said I want to talk a little bit and then I'll read. Everybody on the same page with me now? It's called communication. I'm not doing too good with it. I love studying the book of Acts this evening. Probably the book of Acts is probably the most misunderstood book in our Bible this evening. I never will forget when I first got saved. I hadn't been saved long, and I was working with a Church of God man. And he come up to me and asked me, said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" I said, "Well, I believe I have." He said, "Did you speak in another tongue or unknown tongue?" I said, "I don't talk like I used to. Does that count?" He said, "That's pretty good, but," said, "you need something more than that." And I tell you what that guy done to me that day. I spent almost 40 years gone. I'll tell you what he done. He confused me. He got me real confused. And I went home and got my Bible, and I began to read and study the book of Acts. It's a precious book. I love studying the book of Acts. I think it's a missionary's text. When you study the book of Acts tonight, when you study the book tonight, you'll find that it's a divided book. The first 12 chapters has to do with the ministry of the Apostle Peter. The last part of the book has to do with the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And it's what we call a transitional book. It's a transitional book from law to grace. And you see that as you study the book of Acts tonight. And when you study this book tonight, there's a lot of good truths here as found in the book of Acts tonight. Some of our favorite scriptures found here in chapter 16, chapter 17, right through here, what we're going to read tonight. When you come to chapter 16 tonight, you'll find, of course, Paul and Silas is in jail at Philippi. And you know the story. They get through to jail. And, of course, they have the jailhouse revival, and God moves in a mighty way. And after the jailhouse revival, hey, they leave Philippi and they go to Thessalonica. When you come to chapter number 17 tonight, yeah, you'll see Paul on his second missionary trip. And as he goes to Thessalonica here in chapter 17, as his custom was, he enters into the house of God on the Sabbath day and begins to reason with them out of the scripture. I begin to preach to them and reason with them out of the word of God. And as he does that, some of the Jews get saved. Thank God if you preach the Bible, some folk can get saved. And some of them begin to get saved. And when they got saved, those Jews got upset. And they move with envy, the Bible said in verse 4 and 5. The Jews which believe not, I move with envy, they got upset. And you know what I found out? If you have a church and don't preach anything and don't have anything and don't see nobody get saved, you probably won't have no trouble. But you go to reaching souls, you watch out. Hey, you go trying to reach your city for God, hey, you just watch out. Every Friday night, we have a prayer meeting in our church. The other Friday night, I come up out of the altar, and there was a local pastor standing about halfway down in our aisle of one of our aisles in our church. And he said, "I want to talk to you." I said, "Okay." And we went out into the office, and for the next hour, he cut me in 1,000 pieces. He was so upset. He was so mad, and he was so upset and so disturbed. He's not doing nothing, hadn't done nothing, ain't gonna do nothing, but he's mad because we were. Hey, you win souls and everybody won't like you. Hey, you reach folk for God, folk will get upset, and those Jews move with envy against Paul and Silas. And notice what happens here. Bible said in verse number 6, "And when they found them not," that is, they tried to find Paul and Silas, "and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain of the brothers unto the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down and have come hither also.'" That's a good testimony. Hey, they had a testimony. They turned the world upside down. Look at verse 7. "And Jason had received, whom Jason had received, and these all do contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying, 'There is another king, one Jesus.' And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city. And when they heard them," verse number 9, and when they had taken security of Jason, "they let them go." And when they had taken security of Jason and the others, they let them go. Notice in verse number 7 again tonight, or verse 6 it is. Bible said in verse 6, "And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain of the brothers and the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down and have come hither also. I want to preach tonight on why they had such a testimony, they turned the world upside down. Hey, there was something about their life that made a difference. And there was something about their testimony that made a difference in that day. I studied this again today, and I saw three things by introduction. First of all, in verse 2 and 3, I see the message. And Paul is preaching the gospel. And did you know that still works? Yeah, the death, the burial, the resurrection, it still works, praise God. You preach the gospel, and you'll see people get saved. How you see his message. But in verse 5 and 6, we see a mystery. Who is Jason? Who in the world is this guy named Jason? He's only mentioned twice in the Bible. He's mentioned here in Acts 17 and also in Romans 16. And who is Jason? Can I tell you who he is? He's a nobody. Had become a somebody that he might influence everybody. Hey, he's a nobody. Had become a somebody that he might influence everybody. Jason was a man that hid Paul away. Hey, Jason was a man that took care of the men of God and hit a boy or listen. Well, Jason, he said, and I got to think about Jason. You know, you never hear nobody preach on him. You never hear anything about him. And he's a nobody. Nobody knows anything about much. But did you know God's got a lot of nobodies? Really, they're not a nobody in the sight of God. But they're used of God. Hey, he's not messing but twice, but he hid away the men of God. Hey, on tonight, thank God. Hey, everybody's important in the work of God. It doesn't matter what you do. Hey, it doesn't matter about your position. I said everybody is important in the work of God. I was knocking on doors many years ago one day with one of my bus workers, knocked on this door. This lady came to the door about 85 years old. And I said, I'm Preacher Barker, and this is Dale. We're from Turner's Creek Baptist Church. We just want to give you an invite to come to church with us. We run a bus by here, and we'd be delighted to have you ride a bus with us. She looked at me, and a big old smile come across her face. She said, who did you say you was? I said, I'm Preacher Barker from Turner's Creek. She grabbed me. She said, I've been hearing you for years on the radio. And said, I asked God to put me up in this area where your church is. And said, you don't know this, but for years I've been praying for you. And said, yeah, I'm coming to your church. And I'm going to join your church. And said, God wants me just to pray for you. Come to find out, she had housed J. Hal Smith, old Dr. Percy Ray, Arthur Blackman. Do y'all know who I'm talking about? She knew all them old men of God, her and her husband. And she said, my husband's gone to heaven. And said, God has put on my heart. And she just hadn't moved there. Had to come in this area and join your church and just pray for you. Hold my mute while I shout. And she started coming to church. And every Sunday night she'd say, where are you going to be this week? And I would tell her, weeks and months would go by, and several months had went by. One Sunday morning, I started to have service, and Mrs. Ballard come up to me. And Mrs. Ballard said, how'd it go this week? I said, Mrs. Ballard, I'll be honest with you. It was pretty tough until Wednesday night. She said, 8:30? I said, 8:30. Hey! That's the way old Jason is. I'm telling you, it broke through at 8:30 that Wednesday night. And son, you're talking about a meeting. She said, I know it, I know it. Hey, can I tell you something tonight? Hey, she may be a nobody. She may never get her name in the store of the Lord. Hey, she'll never be on radio. But thank God. Hey, let me tell you tonight, God's got a lot of them like that. I got to preach. You see the message. You see the mystery. But also in this text tonight with introduction, I see the mess. The Bible said the world has been turned upside down. Now, I believe the black preacher's theology is right on this. What has happened is the devil's turned the world upside down, and it's our job to turn it right side up. Yeah. And they had such a testimony in that day. They had turned the world upside down. All the lost world looked on, and the Jews looked on, and they had such a testimony, and they turned the world upside down. I'll say this before I preach tonight. I would hate to think that I live in an area any time at all without making an impact on that area. I'm not looking for a pat on the shoulder. I'm not looking for a pat on the back because I don't get that too much. But at the same time, I would hate to think that I didn't have an influence in the area where I serve. And these men had such a testimony. Hey, they turned the world upside down in their day. By the way, is that not what we're supposed to be doing? By the way, is that not what we're supposed to be doing before we go? I'm making such an impact on that part of the world that they see Christ. Hey, they said these men had come forth, has turned the world upside down. Now here's what I want you to see out of this text tonight. Why did they have such a testimony that they turned the world upside down? I'll give you two or three things and we'll go home. I ain't going to preach as long as I did last night. First of all, I will say they turned the world upside first of all in the book of Acts because they were conscious of a power. Please get what I just said. They had that testimony because they was conscious of a power. It wasn't their ability. It wasn't their education. It wasn't their knowledge. But they was conscious of a power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses of me. Bible said in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 33. And with great power gave them witness of the resurrection. It wasn't their ability. But it was God on them. And God in them. That's conscious of a power. Listen to me tonight. We are an absolute zero without God. Oh, let me tell you, I've been preaching a long time, but I never, ever step up on a platform without being conscious of the fact, if he don't help me, if he don't touch me, if he don't help me, up in the mountain where I come from, they say it like this, brethren, we have made the worship and adore the Lord our God. Would you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? Because all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy. I want to say thank God that it's such a testimony that it's conscious of a power. It wasn't their ability. Think about these men. Backward, fishermen, ignorant, accused of being unlearned. But yet God took those men. And in that day had such a testimony, and they turned the world upside down. Hey, listen to me tonight. Boy, I want to tell you, without him, we're nothing. I say without him, we're nothing. I don't want to preach without him. I don't want to sing without him. I don't want to worship without him. I say without him, we're nothing. I read this verse today, and it really spoke to my heart. Samuel is getting ready to anoint Saul to be king. The Bible said in 1 Samuel 10 and verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. Did y'all get what I just read? He said, Saul, when you prophesy, thou shalt be turned into another man. I don't want to preach. I want that other man to preach. I don't want to sing. I want that other man to sing. I don't want to witness. I want that other man to witness. Hey, are y'all hearing me tonight? It's like the one Sunday morning in a large downtown church. Hundreds and hundreds of people were there. And come time to start the service, all the ladies was in the choir and everybody was in the choir and the big shots had come to visit that day. And it come time to start the service and they couldn't find the preacher. And some of the ladies in the choir was getting disturbed because some of their upper class friends had come to church that day and think the preacher's going to be late for service. One of the ladies spoke to a little boy and said, go back to the preacher's office and see if you can find him. Little boy goes running back to the pastor's study. And when he gets back to the pastor's study, he starts to knock on that door. But on the inside of that room, he heard something like this. Oh, God, I need you. Holy Ghost, I need you. I'll not go today without you. I need you. That little boy scared him to death. He come running back out on the platform and stopped on the edge of the platform and said, hey, said he'll be here in a minute. That other one's coming too. I don't want to go without him. Oh, no, sir. I'm nothing without him. I want to tell you that I thank God that he's conscious of a power. It wasn't their ability. You ever thought about what happens when the power falls? If you go back in chapter 16, when the power of God fell, there's a lot of things happened. The sleepers woke up. The bands were loosened. They all stayed. What a miracle. They all stayed. Sinners got saved. And I'm going to tell you more than anything we need on the mission field, we need the touch of God, man. I'm telling you, without God's touch and God's power, it's all in vain tonight. If you study here in the book of Acts, they would fill with the power of God and fill with the Holy Ghost and done a work for God. They had a testimony. They turned the world upside down because they were conscious of a power. In chapter number one, you find them witnessing. Or in chapter number one, you find them waiting. They're in the upper room and they're waiting on the power of God. Chapter number two, you find them witnessing. Chapter number three and following, you'll find them winning. Amen. And I want to say tonight more than anything in the world, oh God, send the power just now. Oh God, send the power just now. Oh, as we go out and witness and knock on doors and do work for God, we must be conscious of that. I wonder, I'm not going to preach all this. I just want to preach a little bit. I wonder, and I'm for education. Don't take this the wrong way. I heard a guy say, I'm eager and thank God for it. That's pretty dumb. Huh? If you are, you won't have to tell nobody. I am, but I ain't going to tell you I am. Huh? But I wonder sometimes. I'm not against schools. I'm for it. I've been in school a little bit. I'm for that. But I wonder sometimes. If we ain't got so mechanically, we have got them so trained and so mechanically. One of my young people come to me the other day and asked me about a certain Bible college. And I think they got real disturbed at me because I didn't put my approval on that particular school. Listen, friend, I don't want to never get so programmed that I have to go by the letter, word by word, by word, by word, by word, and speak, you know, heaven when you're supposed to go up and no, I don't like that stuff. I'd 10,000 times rather have an inline than an outline. Hey, are you listening to me tonight? Hey, they know nothing about that in the day that we're living in. Oh, listen tonight. I like what one old preacher said. Somebody said, how you get your sermons? He said, number one, I read myself full. Number two, I pray myself hot. And number three, I let myself go. Hey, are you listening to me tonight? Oh, the power of God, they're conscious of that. Everywhere they went, it wasn't them, but it was God on them. I say they're conscious of a power. I want to say they turned the world upside down. They had that testimony because they're conscious of a power. But then when you look in the book of Acts tonight, they weren't only conscious of a power, but I want to say they was committed to a person. It didn't matter what happened, they was committed to a person. It didn't matter who said what to them, they was committed to a person. It didn't matter about the persecution that's committed to a person. I read this again today, Acts chapter number 5. When they persecuted John and them boys there and turned them loose, Bible said that they departed from the council, rejoicing that they was counted worthy how to suffer for his name. You know what I say about that? Hey, they took a beating and kept on ticking. Yeah, they did. Hey, they persecuted them, beat them, and turned them loose. And how can a man do that? Oh, how can a man take a beating like that and still serve God? Hey, I will tell you, that's committed to a person. It wasn't just to a church. It wasn't just to a ministry, but it was to a person. Are you listening to me tonight? And by the way, we need a truckload of that. Committed to Christ. You know how that lady stayed on the mission field 40 years? Committed to Christ. You know how some of you in this room been in the ministry a long time? committed to Christ. And these men were convicted men. These men was committed men. These men were compassionate men. And I say to you tonight, oh God, give us some men and families tonight and missionaries tonight that's committed to the Savior. I was preaching revival several years ago up close to Virginia. I was going up Interstate 77 that night driving a church van. Had a whole van load of people with me. Been several years ago. And as I was driving up the road, it felt like a bulldozer, a 10-ton truck, set down on my chest right here, and every bit of it went out my fingers and out my arm. I couldn't breathe. I was about to die. I'd never had pain like that. I mean, bam, it was there. Well, I didn't say anything about it. Two reasons I didn't say anything. Number one, had I told them that, they wouldn't let me drive. I don't like driving with nobody else. And number two, had I told them that, they wouldn't let me preach that night. We was having a good meeting, and I didn't want to mess it up. So I went on to church and got there, and a house full of people, great service, great meeting going on, good spirit in the singing. I'm sitting on about the second or third pew, about to die. Can't breathe, man, about to die. Preacher called me up to the platform, put the mic on, started to read my text, and when I started reading my text, every pain in my body left me. Preached about an hour like a dog running a rabbit. Can y'all understand that kind of language? And had a time, had a great service. Took the wireless mic off, started off the platform, and when I started off the platform, it hit me again. I thought, man, this ain't good. Told my wife, I said, I don't feel too good. I believe I'm going to go see Dr. Goodson tomorrow. And called him and went over to his doctor's office there in Yagville. He's not been there in years. This is years and years ago. Went into his office and told him what was going on. And he listened to my heart, and he said, don't you move. Don't move. And I've been around hospitals all my life because my daddy's been pastoring. And I'd visited hospitals for years. And I knew when that little lady come pushing that buggy down the aisle, it's got all them wires on it. And they stick it on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That EKG stuff. He said, don't move. There's something not right. And I was laying out with my shirt off. And I was wanting to go. I had places to go and things to do. That door swung open. Here come that little lady. Pushing that buggy. And she started taking a razor, and evidently they hadn't made no money that week because that razor had been used 40 times. Pull the hairs out of my chest. Run her finger down in the jelly jar and put that jelly all over me. Stuck them things on me, and I began to lay there, and I watched her. She began to do that EKG. And that thing went boom, 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 boom. I said, I'm going to preach on that Sunday. And I went to church on Sunday after going to the Forsyth Hospital. Didn't have a heart attack. Everything was fine. I just stressed out. When you don't know what's wrong with you, you're stressed. And so that's what was wrong. And after going through all the tests and all that cavitation stuff and all that, I just stressed out. But I went to church that following Sunday and preached on the EKG of the church. She's up! She's down! She's up! She's down! You want me to tell you how to be smooth? You want me to tell you how to be steadfast? Be committed to the right person. Listen to me. If you're committed to your pastor, you'll come to church Sunday morning. If you're committed to your church, you'll come on Sunday night. But if you're committed to the Lord, you'll be here on Wednesday night. Thank God. Hey, these men turned the world upside down. They're conscious of a power. It wasn't them. But it was his power, and they was committed to a person. It didn't matter what happened. They was committed to that person. You know, we got a lot of popsicle Christians. They hang around till the heat gets on. Hello, I'm preaching good. Huh? They was committed to a person. Number three, I want to say, they don't have a testimony to turn the world upside down. They was conscious of a power. They was committed to a person. But as I read the book of Acts again today, I found out they continued in prayer. Everywhere they went, they prayed. Read the book of Acts. They started out in Acts chapter number 1 by meeting in the upper room. And all through the book of Acts, you'll find them on their knees praying. Chapter number 2 of the day of Pentecost, you'll find them praying. Chapter 3 of the hour of prayer, you'll find them praying. Chapter 4, when they prayed, the place was shaken. Hey, all through the book of Acts, you find them praying and getting the hold of God. Hey, I want to tell you something tonight. They continued in prayer. And may I say tonight, it still works. It still works. My daddy was an old-fashioned North Carolina mountain preacher. I don't know if my daddy ever, he may have preached in South Carolina one time in his ministry. Preached 55 years. My dad and Preacher Wishon's dad preached together many, many times. My daddy preached 55 years. And to my knowledge, he may have preached in South Carolina one time when my brother pastored. But other than that, I don't think he'd ever even preached, not much out, 2 or 3 counties in North Carolina. But I'm going to tell you what my daddy taught me. He'd never been to Bible college. Daddy didn't know a thing in the world about alliteration. He'd look at you like you was crazy if you started doing everything P's and C. He didn't know anything about that stuff. But I'm telling you, he had an in line. He'd get in the pulpit. He'd preach a house down. People would get saved. You'd say, that's not the way you do it. He did. He worked. And pastored them mountain churches up there and had people saved and started a church and done a work for God. But I'll tell you what my daddy taught me. My daddy taught me this. Son, if you'll pray, things will happen. Son, if you'll pray, prayer changes people. Prayer changes communities. Prayer changes a county. My daddy taught me that. And one of the prayingest men I've ever met in my life. I read Praying John Hyde's book. I read all his works, and I like all of it, and I'm for all of it. But I have never met a man in my life of 58 years on this earth that prayed like my daddy. I know my daddy. I'm talking about he'd pray all night. I'm talking about he'd get a hold of God. And when daddy prayed, things would happen. I'm telling you when my dad, hey, can I tell you something tonight? Hey, if we're going to turn the world upside down, hey, there must be a continuation in prayer. Let's stay with God in prayer. 4 times a year at Northwood, this Friday night's one of them nights. 4 times a year at Northwood, we have an all-night prayer meeting. It'll start Friday night at 7 o'clock, go to Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. And we'll have 150 people come during the night and through the night. Different ones get a hold of God. Last several months, I'm telling you, we've seen a move of God and a spark of revival, people being saved and people getting saved and people would have never dreamed would have got saved. But I'm going to tell you how it come. Oh, I'm going to tell you how it come. Some of my old people, they can't go visitation, but buddy, they can pray and they can get a hold of God. I'm telling you, they turned the world upside down. Oh, they continued in prayer. It still works, thank God. We need some more Miss Ballards. Preacher, about 8:30, wasn't it? Yep. Boy, I'm telling you, say, preacher, that's old-fashioned preaching. That's okay. It still works. Hey, they turned the world upside down. They continued in prayer. Then as I was reading the book of Acts again today, I think there's another reason they turned the world upside down. They weren't only conscious of a power and committed to a person and continued in prayer, but in chapter number 2 through the rest of the book, they were compelled to preaching. Everywhere they went, they preached. You know what I heard a missionary say some time ago? This is a God's truth in the state of Georgia. Missionary got in the pulpit and made this statement. Preaching in our day no longer works. That's about as dumb as a sack of doorknobs. That's the only thing that will work. And I'm telling you, it works tonight. I'm telling you. At chapter number 2, old Peter stands up and preaches the Word of God. And you go right down through the book of Acts over and over and over again. You find the preaching. It still works. It still works. Everybody may not preach like I do, and I might not preach like you do. But the Spirit of God on the Word of God through the call of God, a God's anointed man, it still works, thank God. Things happen when the man of God preached. I say to you this, see that? They were compelled to preach in the night. There's something about preaching that absolutely stirs me up. I love hearing your pastor preach. You know why I love hearing your pastor preach? He's a preacher. Preaches. First time I met him, he made reference to that a while ago, was up in Virginia. that log cabin church. You remember that? Jubilee on the hill. And it was Jubilee on the hill too, buddy. And Brother Stewart preached, I never will forget that service. Preached the house down. And I've heard him preach since then. He's still doing pretty good. Huh? Yes, sir. And I want to tell you something tonight. I'm going to tell you why they turned the word. Everywhere they went, they preached. Hey, missionary, just preach. You see, and when I was in missions, I had missionaries ask me all the time, what works on the field? What are we going to do when we get to field? What works on the field? What works here? Have church. Take the King James Bible and preach. Here, I've been all over the country. I've been all everywhere. I'm telling you, it works anywhere. Preaching works tonight. Oh, I want to tell you, they had a testimony and turned the world upside down because they were compelled to preaching. Oh, Philip went down into the desert. Climb up into that chariot with that eunuch. That eunuch reading Isaiah 53. And Peter, Philip said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I accept some men guide me? And the word of God said, oh, Philip, again at the same scripture. He didn't say he teased. And I'm not against teaching. I'm for that. But he said, oh, Philip, again at the same scripture. What did he say he done? Yeah, he preached. Amen. Hey, there's something about preaching stirs my heart. It still works, thank God. Oh, they turned the world upside down. They were compelled to preach it. I wrote this down. I like it. If you're preaching from the Bible, preach on. If you're longing for revival, preach on. Preach for sinners to hear salvation. Preach for Christians' consecration. Preach on. If his sermon's from the Lord, preach on. Never mind if they look bored, just preach on. If you step on someone's corns, just preach on. Take the bull right by the horns and just preach on. Let not time be restriction. If the sinner's got conviction, just preach on. Christ can save his soul from hell, cleanse his heart and make him well. Even if it's after 12, just preach on. Christ for every situation, preach on. If your members doubt it and say they live without it, if you talk to God about it, just preach on. Amen. I love it. They turned the world upside down because they was compelled to preach. And I'm closing. Look at me. Such a testimony. They turned the world upside down. They realized early it wasn't them, it was somebody else. That's conscious of a power. They realized early they was committed to a person. They realized early they had to continue in prayer. They realized early they was compelled to preaching. But I'll tell you the last reason they had the testimony, they turned the world upside down. They was convinced of a promise. everybody wait, raise your hand. They was convinced of a promise. Yeah. Our blessed Lord come to this world by the way of an old-fashioned barn door, born of a virgin, hung around 33 and a half years, walked out to a hill called Calvary, and laid down on the cross. Man, I just got done preaching a series on the seven sayings of the cross. The best series ever done in my life. I love it. Walked out there and laid down. They didn't take his life. He said, I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up again. And lays down on the cross of Calvary. And they nail him to the cross. And they take that cross and suck it down into a hole. And God allows midnight to be at midday. God cuts the lights out of the universe. And God don't look on sin because of the sins of the world. I was laid on the Son of God that day. That afternoon, down in the evening, they took him down off the cross. Took that body and put it in a borrowed tomb. Yeah. Laid the body in a borrowed tomb, but there was some business going on beyond that tomb. Something else was going on in the heart of the earth, but anyhow, laid that body in that borrowed tomb. About 72 hours later, we just come through that Easter season, and I studied that again. It's absolutely impossible to get 72 hours from Friday evening at 3 o'clock to Sunday morning. Saturday morning, the Sabbath. There's no way you can't do it. There's no way. But anyhow, put that body in that tomb. 72 hours later, are you listening? Yeah, laying there in that tomb, a finger began to move. Laying there in that tomb, a leg began to move. Laying there in that tomb, his head began to move. Up from the grave, he arises and gets up, thank God, and walks out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Says, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Hung around 40 days. After 40 days, walks out to the Mount of Olives, reaches up and gets a cloud and pours it down, steps up on it and says, glory please. And he leaves out. And the Bible said those men stood there gazing up into heaven. And the Word of God said, this same Jesus that you see go away shall so come again in like manner. You know what they done, Brother Brady Rochester? They went everywhere and said, you know what he said? He said he's coming. Hey, you know what he said? You know what he said? He said he's coming back. If you believe that, I'll guarantee you that a cranky truck. Yeah, think about it. He may come tonight. I don't have one thing to go to North Carolina for tonight. Not a thing. Not one thing do I have to go home for. It thrill my soul if a trump of God sounds right now. Hallelujah, bless his name. Oh, yes, sir. Matter of fact, I've got more over there than I got down here. I've about got the point of my life now. I got more friends over there than I have down here. Thank God some of these days, hallelujah, he's coming. He said he was. They was convinced of a promise. Everywhere they went. You know what he said? You know what he said when he's leaving? I'll be back. Brother Jeff, I'll be back. Put her down. Mr. England, I'll be back. That's what he said. He said, I'll be back. They was convinced of that. We're not convinced of it. No, we're not convinced of it. Because you're convinced of that. That'll make you live right, do right, work right. Amen. Are you listening? Convinced of a promise. And I'm going to say this and I'm done. I promise you I'm done. He promised that. He personally promised that he would be back. 9 times in the New Testament, the new birth's matching. 22 times baptism's matching. 70 times repentance is matching. But the coming of Christ for the church is matching no less than 318 times in the Word of God. And did you know if you'll take the Bible and the New Testament and average out the verses, it'll average every 25th verse. Somehow or another, he'll deal with the fact, I'll be back. I'll be back. Hey, glory to God, hallelujah. I'd like if he come tonight. I'd love if he come tonight. Oh, I got my daddy over there and I got my loved ones over there. I got my Savior over there, thank God. I'd love to see him come tonight. I'm not just preaching, I mean what I'm saying. I'd like to see him tonight. Man alive, for 40 years I've read about him. 40 years I have prayed to him. 40 years I've been singing about him. 40 years I've been meditating on him. I'm getting to the point I don't want to meditate. I want to see him. I want to see he who loved me. Oh, yes, are you listening to me? Oh, they're convinced of a promise. They turn the world upside down because they believe that. Thank God. He promised he would come. The purpose of his coming is to redeem his bride. The prospect of his coming is real good. Look at little Israel tonight. You don't see God's time clock? Look what's going on. I want to tell you, when you see your trouble and trouble on every side, get ready. I'm telling you, the church is getting ready to get out here. They was convinced all through the book of Acts, they went everywhere. Other day out there, you know what he said when he went up? You know what he said? Hey, I'm telling you, they was convinced of that. And again, in closing, I want to say this tonight. If we're really convinced of that, that absolutely will change our life. My question is this. I'm going to hush or I will have lied. But here, I want to say this and I'm done. Have you got a testimony where you live that you're trying to turn the world upside down? That liberal preacher, let me have it the other night, accused us trying to turn our town upside down. said, guilty. Guilty. Whatever sentence you want to put on me, I'm guilty. Let me have it. Shook his hand, said, God bless you, sir. I'm not mad at you. If I never help you, call me. He just got so upset at me. He said, you wouldn't let me preach in your church, would you? I said, absolutely not. No. I ain't gonna let a man preach in my church, got women deacons. Say amen right there. Liberal. Don't think much about this book at all. That book I got in my hand's God's book. There ain't nine others. I got the one right here in my hand. Amen. Hey, don't be weary when somebody persecutes you if you do right. Just go, what kind of testimony do you have in your community? Huh? We have a large bus ministry at the church. Bring a lot of people in every Sunday. I meet with our bus workers every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. We have prayer. I was standing out this past Sunday morning, about 15 after 7, them buses began to leave. One went north to Jonesville. One went south to Moxville. One went east over towards the Courtney area. Other went west over towards East Bend area. Going out, bringing them in, telling them about Jesus. Seeing them boys and girls and mamas and daddies getting saved. Bringing some of them old roughnecks in that's got tattoos all over them. We've even been labeled as a tattoo parlor of Yakin County. That really disturbs me. I'm so upset. Get them saved! Get them saved! Amen. Turn the world. Have a testimony, a community. Turn the world upside down. Let's stand together, please. Our Heavenly Father, as we stand our feet tonight, as the musicians come, oh God, help us tonight to be conscious of a power. It certainly isn't what we do, it's what you do. Help us, our Father, to be committed to a person. Lord, that'll make us go when we don't feel like going. That'll make us serve when we don't feel like serving. That'll make us give when we don't feel like giving. That'll make us to be surrendered even when we don't feel like being surrendered. God, help us to be committed to a person. Father, please help us tonight to continue in prayer. We have not because we ask not, call unto me and I'll answer thee. Show you great and mighty things. May our Father, we just practice what we know, continue in prayer. And God forbid that we ever deviate from preaching the Word of God. Oh, God, and may we be convinced of the promise you're coming again. Lord, I believe those five things motivated those men of God to have such a testimony in that area and that day that they turned the world upside down. God, help us tonight. Speak to our hearts. May we, our Father, we take encouragement out of the good Word of God and get help tonight. Meet every need. Our heads are bowed and nobody looking around. Our musicians are playing.